our Savior. Oh, it's going to be wonderful to be able to see the friends and our relatives that have gone on before. Oh, yes. But to see the one that died for us. You know, we serve one who we have not seen except through the eyes of faith. But one day that faith will be seen. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Thank you so much. And what a blessing to be able to be in your church today. What a blessing. Every one of you have been so friendly, so kind. And you folks have been very, the Lord has blessed you with some incredible talent here, Pastor. We have really enjoyed the music, the singing. Everything has been so good. And each of you have, some of you have told me David Barnhouse stories. It's incredible. I think almost everyone has a David Barnhouse story. And so believe me, I am leaving with my gun loaded. So I've got some good stories on him. Amen. Oh, believe it or not, David Barnhouse now is in California. I finally found out where he's at. You know, I can't usually be able to tell which side of the ocean at least he is, but where he's on some which side of the ocean, you know, I don't know. But he's now on, he's out in California preaching today with Dr. Sisk, and who is our one of our general director emeritus, and I know that he's being a blessing and receiving a blessing there. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, and thank you once again for everyone that's come back tonight, knowing who is going to speak. Thank you very much once again. I appreciate that, and hope that the Lord will bless you and reward you accordingly and be able to speak to your heart directly through His Spirit now tonight. We look at all around the world today. There's heartache, is there not? We look in here in the church house. And yes, there is heartache. Yeah. There is some discouragement. Oh, yes. We read the Bible and we read through all the great saints of old and through the apostles and all those that helped to start the early church. And there was some grief there too. Yeah. Some discouragement. But what helped them to continue on? In spite of everything that was being thrown at them. Sometimes God gives us testings in our life. Sometimes the evil one is trying to do all he can to discourage and disrupt and cause us to fail. And then we have our own carnal flesh and the worldly influences around us, and sometimes it's just literally, it's a miracle that we're able to continue on and serve for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul was an incredible man. You look at all the different things that he had to go through. He goes into detail about it in 2 Corinthians and talks about all the things that he had to endure. Can you imagine being beaten, stoned, left for dead, and all the different things? And then he got up and then he went back, right back into the same town that he was just stoned in and preached again. Incredible. I think I would have gotten the hint, said I'll go next door. Incredible man of faith. And he didn't quit. Amazing. All the things that happened unto him, he called them more of a light affliction. Which endures just for a moment. But one day, in glory, as we've just heard it sung, it will be worth it all. What caused the Apostle Paul to continue on in spite of everything? We're going to read a passage that I believe the Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but I believe it is him sharing a little bit with us his heart of what helps him to continue. This, I read this at a special time in my life. A missionary, so to speak, speaking to a missionary. And it helped me to put everything in perspective. And why we need to get to continue on, no matter what comes our way. Let's all stand together. We're reading 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll begin reading in verse number 16. For though I preach the gospel, Paul writes, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Oh, what a beautiful passage this is. I'd like to speak for a few moments this evening on the heart of ministry, the heart. Heavenly Father, I do pray you would bless now the moments we have together. Help us now as we look as the Apostle Paul opens up his heart, and how, as I share in that, how you spoke to me through this. And I pray now, Father, that you would speak directly to your people now tonight. Give us now exactly what each and every one of us needs to help us to continue on to serve you for your honor and glory now today and throughout this week, throughout our life, until we bow before you. What a day that will be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul continues on in spite of everything that was brought against him. And I believe in this passage, he has given us three very specific words that helps us to understand, I believe, how he has continued on in spite of everything. I believe, first of all, the first word I believe that's important for us to realize is found in the first word and the first verse that I read, verse number 16. He says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. It's not about me. No, he says. He says, for, and here's the first word there. Read it together. Necessity. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I believe the Apostle Paul, in many ways, he was able to see the importance of the gospel no matter what was happening in his life. May we all realize that all of us are left here on this earth to propagate the gospel. Amen. Yes, we may work a 9-to-5 job, or we may do shift work, or we may be a stay-at-home mom, or maybe we are a homemaker, or no matter what we are, no matter what we're doing, it matters not. Our purpose and our goal in life, the reason Christ left us here on the earth, is to propagate the gospel, to let other people know about the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. No matter what comes our way, may we always keep that in focus. I believe that this word, though, necessity, Paul had a necessity. You look at that up, that's kind of it means more of an urgency. An urgency about it. A passion about him. There was a special burden upon him. As a matter of fact, he said that, woe unto me. Woe. Grief be upon him. Sorrow be upon him if he preaches not the gospel. Oh, let me tell you, do we have that type of urgency about us? Do we have that type of passion about us? I mentioned it briefly this morning. But when I was saved as a boy, oh, let me tell you, when I was saved, I was so excited. I was excited that God saved me. And although I didn't know all the right words to say, I didn't know all the Bible verses and so forth, I wanted to tell people. I wanted to be able to share what God had done in my life. And some of you, many of you can be able to say, yes, I remember. I was like that too. When I got saved, I wanted to tell people about it. Oh, yes. But what happens, though, is that as we get older and more mature in the faith, now we are a professional Christian. We are a church member. And we have a facade. God help us to remove that facade. We're sinners saved by grace, amen? Oh, yes. And we should have a passion about the gospel, a necessity, a need to give it out, a need of a burden to be able to realize, yes, there are people around us. I'm not talking about we should always have such an incredible burden that we can't even live our life. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about us being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that whenever we get a prompting from Him, say, hey, we need to say something here. Yes, we need to give something out. We need to be able to share something. We can say, yes, Lord, I'm here. Speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen. Sometimes we have to make sure we carry around tracts, though. Yeah? Because you know what? If we can't hand them out, if we don't have them. Amen. You guys got a wonderful church track rack out there. We need to make sure that we have them in our pockets, have them in our purses, have us to where if God gives us a prompting, we've got it there. Amen. But can we say that we have a necessity? I had told you this morning I'll try to share some stories. The problem is stories take a long time. So I'm going to try to speed through some of these stories tonight. But one of my young pastors that probably shows the most of this necessity is a young man named Elkhan. He got saved actually as a result of a soccer game. We would try to go out in some of the villages, and we had soul-winning soccer teams. I'm not talking about doing sports evangelism, but anything like that. But I'm talking about using any type of evangelism. Amen. Sometimes you go out to an African village with a real-life soccer ball. Oh, wow. They make soccer balls out of plastic bags, constantly tied together and tied together and tied together and tied together until it becomes a somewhat of a hard ball. And that's what they play soccer with. Adult men out there with a makeshift little ball. You go out there with a real-life soccer ball. Hey, can we play? Every village has a team, by the way. Every village does. Oh, yes, but can we be able to speak to you? Oh, yes. Several of our pastors today were saved as a result of such a thing. Elkhan was one of them. Elkhan was a nomadic warrior, and he couldn't read, couldn't write. But God saved him. We put him in our adult literacy program, and he began to slowly begin to read and be able to understand more, and he became a zealous soul winner. And he would go out and he would talk about what happened to him, and he would be able to propagate the gospel. But you know what? When he actually started to be able to read it, he would go, hey, you know, let me tell you what God did to me, and you know what? And I can read it to you too. And it was a blessing for him to be able to go around and be able to be that type of a soul winner. His job, though, was a shepherd, which was a very lowly type job. He would take They were, once again, he was from the nomadic tribe, and he was working in one of the village centers there. And what he would do is that he would go through, and everyone that had animals there in the little village, they would entrust them to him, and he would take them out that day. And he would go and he would, you know, watch the goats and the sheep and the cows and so forth, make sure that they grazed good and watered good and everything. And in the evening, he'd bring them all back. Man, and he had a very good testimony for that. Well, there got to be an issue in the village, and there was a problem with petty thievery. And so the village chief actually confronted Elkanah. He says, "Now, sir, you know, you've been a very faithful man with all of our animals. And you're a very good Christian, and you're a very honest person. We have been having issues in the village here, you know, with thievery and things happening. What we don't have a policeman. So we would like, and us and the village elders have voted on you to be the village policeman. Would you be willing to do that?" Wow. That's a big jump. Shepherd, policeman, you know. And, but, you know, since he was a nomadic warrior, I mean, you know, walks around with a 7-foot spear, is, you know, has got the big machete and got, you know, the bow and arrow and all of that, you know, and he knows how to use it too. It's not for show. So, you know, he can do pretty good. So he took that and he became a soul winning policeman now, and took his job very, very seriously. In one evening though, he was out on patrol and he caught the thieves. There was a small group of them, and single-handedly, once again, you have a 7-foot spear, bow and arrow, and all of that. I mean, you can round them, and he rounded them up. And he put them and locked them in a mud hut there that was used as the jail in the village there. Boy, he thought the next morning, the chief is going to be so happy. But when he showed up, the chief was very, very scared. He says, "You don't know what you've done. You're going to have to answer for this." He's like, "What? Well, what have I done?" He says, "Did you notice that in the group that you rounded up last night, that one of them was a girl?" He said, "Yes, there was a young lady in the group there." "Yes, she was." He says, "That is the witch doctor's daughter." And so those of you who may not be aware, but the witch doctors many times, they have, especially regional ones, have much greater authority and power regionally than sometimes even the strongest chiefs. And he began very visibly nervous, and he says, "You are the arresting officer." He goes, "No, this is on you. You're going to have to go to the witch doctor and to be able to inform him of what's happened. It's going to be you." Everyone around at that moment said, "Don't go. Don't go. Just run. Just flee. Just go." He says, "Just, you know, tell us where you are, just go, and we'll get your things and we'll send them to you." And he's telling me the story later on. He said, I didn't know what to do, but I remembered, though, in my heart that, you know, that sermon that was preached about greater is he that is in you? And all of a sudden, something started to go inside of me. That, you know what? Yeah, we know who he is, but you know what? He needs to hear the gospel too. And he says, "I was so scared." He went to the hut. It was some distance away, and as soon as he showed up, everyone knew what he was there for. They all left. He was ushered in. He walked in, and he said, "Sir," he said, "I have two things to say to you. Number one, your daughter has been arrested. She's a thief, and she is now in the village lockup, and you need to go in and you need to talk with her." He says, "Yes, I've heard of that." "The second thing," he said, "sir, I have been saved. Jesus Christ, the Creator God has saved me. Jesus Christ, his Son, that came and died for me, he has saved me, and now I'm on my way to heaven. I would like to tell you that." He says, "On the first thing, I'll go to the village. But on the second thing, yes, tell me more about it." You see, Elkan did not know that the Holy Spirit had been working on this witch doctor. For quite some time, he was able to realize how the emptiness of serving Satan was, and how it was total fabrication sometimes, but afterwards there was absolute such wicked and just seeing the emptiness of it. There's got to be a greater meaning in life. I said, well, what did you do, Elkhan? He says, well, I just said, well, I can be able to tell you about it and then I can read it to you too. He took out his Bible and he says, I just talked to him as I did everybody else. And to the amazement, he got on his knees and accepted Christ as Savior. Amen. Oh, man. A week later, me not knowing this news yet, I went into one of the local villages there to do some soul winning with a couple people from our churches there. And as soon as I went into the village, one of the village elders stopped me in the middle of the path with a lot of people all around me. And he said, missionary, I need to speak with you. I have seen the power of God. I'm ready to be saved. I'm like, whoa, I just walked in. Hey, this is pretty good. I mean, I've got an aurora around me or something, huh? And right there in front of everybody, which is something that is very uncommon, he got on his knees and asked Christ to save him. And then I found out what really happened. Elkhan, man that couldn't read, couldn't write, village policeman, had won the most powerful man in the entire area to Jesus Christ. And then all of the other leaders could be able to see the power of God. You know, now that ex-witch doctor for many years was a member of our Crossroads Bible Baptist Church in Rumaruti. And by the way, guess who discipled him? The national pastor? No. The missionary? No. Elkhan? And he read it to him. And what a special blessing. A young man who is now a pastor, doing a fine job. But there was something about him that was unique. It was his necessity. An urgency. I've got to be able to tell people about the gospel. It made up his entire makeup of his life. As a shepherd, he was a soul winner. As a policeman, he was a soul winner. So God knew he could trust him to be able to go and speak to the most powerful person in that area. What about us? So many times we get so easily discouraged, do we not? But do we have a necessity of the gospel about us? Do we have an urgency about us? Some of you can say, preacher, I had one. I had a necessity. I no longer have it now. May God help us to rekindle that so that God can trust us once again to be able to give a witness when he knows there's someone that needs it. Oh, Paul continued on. Necessity of the gospel, the necessity, notice here the wording here, for necessity is laid upon me. Paul says, may we allow the necessity of the gospel to be laid upon us. Verse 17 holds the second word that I would like to bring to your attention here. For though I do this thing willingly, what's this thing? This is preaching the gospel. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. And hey, praise the Lord for that. Amen. For all of you that have been faithful, for all of you who do go out and be able to give a testimony, who do go out and go soul winning, who helps to do all that they can, God does reward his servants. Amen, does he not? He'll reward you here on this earth and in glory one day. Oh, what a wonderful thing. God will be no one's debtor, I'll guarantee you that. But that's not what I want to talk about, though. He says, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But look at here. But if against my will, a dispensation. Can I put another word in there to help us to understand the word dispensation? It's another word for the word stewardship. Stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me. He says, if I do this thing willingly, praise the Lord, I have a reward. But if against my will, I still need to realize it's still my responsibility. I still am a steward of the gospel. It still has been entrusted to me. Oh, the Bible has much to say about we as stewards and all the things that he has entrusted to us as stewards. He has given us possessions. He has given us our time. He's given us our abilities. He's given us talents. He's given us all types of resources. And he has also entrusted to us his blessed gospel. I have no idea why Christ entrusted his wonderful gospel to us. Seems like the angels would have done a much greater job. Hey, angel shows up. Oh, we'll listen, you know. But no, he's entrusted it to us. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's because it is we who have truly been redeemed. Woo! To be able to share that redemption, that message of redemption to other people. May we understand the importance and the responsibility that has been given to us. Are we true stewards of the gospel? We do it willingly. Hey, and let me tell you, as a missionary, there are wonderful days that I love to be able to tell other people about Jesus Christ. There are wonderful days that God has answered my prayer, he has been helping me, and he has done wonderful things for me, and then I want to be able to tell other people about the gospel. But then there are a bunch of other days. Sometimes you don't feel like it. Isn't that horrible for a missionary to say? But how many else can testify to that? Yeah. There are many other days that maybe you don't feel it. The other days that maybe you don't have a special blessing. Maybe God didn't answer the prayer just the way that you wanted it to be answered. Paul says, hey, I didn't ask for all those beatings and scourgings either. There were many days I didn't feel like it. I assure you, there were many times he didn't feel like it. Why do you think he had to carry a doctor with him all the time? But Paul knew the stewardship of the gospel had been entrusted to him. Willing or not? Let me tell a little story on myself. This didn't happen in Africa. This happened here in the States. I was preaching up in Michigan. And for a person that was raised out west, going up into Yankee territory, that's hard enough anyhow. Yeah. And there's a couple of you Yankees that already told me in here. There, you're in here. Okay, so anyhow, forgive me. You know, so I was up in Michigan getting ready to preach, and I had been traveling week after week after week. I had been preaching and everything, and I was exhausted. How many of you sometimes get tired? Oh, yeah. The day-to-day life. Sometimes even just the basic things of serving the Lord. Sometimes the joy gets out. And when that joy leaves, we need to make sure that we pray that God will help to bring in and rekindle that joy in our heart. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. We understand the importance of that. But I was exhausted. We got into this missions conference, and I was supposed to be able to preach the entire week. And as soon as we all got together, the pastor got us together and all the missionaries and some of the people in the church. And he says, well, this is what we're going to do. He goes, right off the bat, we're all going to go out and we're going to go out soul winning. We're all going to be able to canvass this entire town, talk to everyone that we can about the missions conference, and we're going to get everyone to be able to be here. And everyone went, yes. And I went, oh, I'm sorry. I was exhausted. But you know that little small voice? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. And sometimes it isn't so small. And it's still so little. It says, you know, you're still responsible. You're still responsible. You got to go. And by the way, it does look bad when all the other missionaries are going and you're not, so you better go. So anyhow, so we were going to meet later on that day, and they all gathered in a special room to be able to pair off and to be able to show each, they were going to show us where we were going to be able to go that day. And I was one of the last people to walk in. Everyone had already paired off. And when I walked in, I was the odd man now in the room, which meant I had no one to go with. Oh. Number one, I didn't feel like going. Number two, now I have no one to go fellowship with as we go. And I just, once again, you just kind of feel like, oh, man. Maybe the Lord's not in this. And boy, God gets blamed for a lot of things, you know. So, hey, you're still responsible. You're still responsible. So, we went out, and the pastor showed me a particular street. And he goes, Brother Bowman, here you go. Here, I want you to go down here and go down this street and tell everyone about the missions conference. And everyone, oh, yes, all right. All right. First several doors, you know, the devil has key people. Oh, yeah. I'm not interested. Ah, boom. What are you doing here? God bless you. Oh, yeah. Don't let Satan discourage you. Because you know what? He always has someone further down the street he's trying to keep you away from. Mm-hmm. And such was the case that day. Went just a little further down. It was probably maybe the fourth or fifth house, preacher. Lady came to the door visibly shaken, very, very visibly bothered. And as soon as she saw me, she looked at me and goes, you're a preacher, aren't you? After everything that just happened through the other doors and everything else like that, I said, ma'am, it depends. And all of a sudden, she began to break up and she started to cry. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry, I am a preacher, I am. Is there anything I can do to help? Is there something I need to pray for? Anything here? And she says, you don't know what this means. You know, and you know, when she starts turning into weeping from crying. Oh, she says, you have no idea what this means. I said, I don't. Will you share it with me though? She says, yes. She says, preacher, I'm not a good woman. I've never been to church. I'm a sinner. I know I am. She says, this morning, I was in my back room. I said, this is it. I'm all done. She says, preacher, I tried to take my life. And she says, but I just couldn't do it. And suddenly she says, I had this thought in my mind. She says, I haven't given God a chance. She says, preacher, I don't know if this is right or not. I don't know. I don't know God. I've never been to church. I don't know how to pray. I don't know if I did right. She says, all I did is I got on my knees and I said, God, if you're truly out there, I'll give you 24 hours. I'll give you 24 hours. Give me some meaning to my life. 24 hours, if not tomorrow morning, it's done. And she says, that was just a few hours ago. And you're here. You're a preacher. She says, do you have something for me? Is there something about salvation that I need? I'm like, yeah, yes, ma'am. Let me start. Oh, my. I hated to tell her that just a few hours earlier. I was unwilling. But I got willing really quick. Oh, wow. And let me tell you, have you ever talked to someone who the Lord has already worked with so much and they were ready to receive his word so openly? The conviction was there. Repentance was there. The openness of heart was there. She just needed the right direction to be able to put her faith in. And oh, as I began to, right there in the door, be able to share the Bible verses with her. Oh, yes, 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 this is it. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, and all of a sudden those tears began to turn into tears of joy as she accepted Christ right there in the door. Oh, I tell you what, it was such a joyous thing. She prayed on her own. Oh, God, please save me, please. And then as soon as she said amen, oh, what a wonderful thing. And then she went, my neighbor, my neighbor, my neighbor has to hear this. You see, she knew I was depressed, and she's actually in my house. She was trying to encourage me before you, when you came and knocked on the door. She's in here. She needs to hear this. Well, she's a sinner. She needs to hear this. Yes, ma'am. Okay. She got the necessity real quick, didn't she? Wow, all right. And I went back to her. I was able to witness to her. And then she went, this is great. Oh, yeah. My husband has to hear this. And he's at work right now, but it's okay. I'll call him. And she'd be able to dial on her phone. And she went, here, talk to him. And I could already see that he had answered. He's like, hello? Hello, honey? What's going on? Is everything okay? I said, hello, sir. Who are you doing in my house? I said, yes, sir. I'm a preacher. I'm going to explain real quick there. And I'm a preacher. I've come here. Sir, your wife has accepted Christ. She's gotten saved. Oh, the tone in his voice immediately changed. I need to hear that. Can we meet after work? Oh, yeah. Well, we met after work. He got saved. And he said, you know, we got to get into a good church. We've got to get into a church. We've got to get baptized. We got to get in. Do you know of a good church around here? Hey, we can tell that you're not from around here. And he says, would you be willing to take us to a church? Oh, yeah, yeah, yes. As a matter of fact, I'll be preaching this week. And I called the preacher up. I said, hey, get the baptism ready. Here we go. I tell you one thing. They got in, came to that church and were baptized that night. What a wonderful thing. I went to bed that night, thinking of this verse. Willing, unwilling. But a stewardship of the gospel. I wonder how many times God had someone for us. But we were unwilling. Paul says, I've got to keep on going. All the things that have fallen out to me, they have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel, he says. There is a necessity we need to rekindle the passion in our hearts. There is a complete understanding of our responsibility as a Christian, the stewardship of the gospel. And lastly, quickly, the third word is in verse number 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself. Look at those words. I have made myself. And here's the word. Servant unto all. Paul made himself to be servant. Are we willing to be a servant? Many of us, we want to lead. We want to be in charge. Or we're very, very content just to sit back and let other people do things. But when we're asked, or maybe the Holy Spirit, when he prompts us, hey, we need to do something here. Can you help here? Can you help in this class over here? Let me tell you, there should be a waiting list that pastor has of all the things that need to be done in this church and all the different things that has to be done. He should have a waiting list of all the people that are waiting to be able to serve. But as far as I know, I've been to a lot of churches and there's never been a waiting list. Many times the pastor saying, hey, can we get some help here?
There should be a waiting list. Hey, put me on there. I want to be the next. You need to be a servant. A servant. A servant.
Let me tell you, those of you who give to Faith Promise, you sacrifice. Let me tell you a quick little story that helps to reveal that sacrifice is not always on this side of the ocean. There's many, many a national Christian around the world that I believe when it comes to stand before Jesus Christ, they're going to go way ahead of the line because they've put it all out there for the Lord. Such a man was a man named Suleiman. I first met him when he was a young teenager. He became one of the preacher boys that was in one of the churches. And soon the Lord allowed him to connect with a girl from one of the other village churches named Mary. And they did everything right. It was a joy to be able to marry them in a Christian/Turkana. Wedding and be able to merge some of their culture and some of their things that they did and special things that they dress, and it was a beautiful wedding. The Lord had called them to be able to minister, called him to preach, and she had a servant's heart, and they went out and they started a small church. He told me several years previously that the Lord had called him to start a church in his home village of Thome. It's a small little village. And you wonder, why in the world would he go all the way out there to preach there and to start a church way out there? It's because that's where God wanted him. You know, there's a lot of different villages and towns even that I've gone through in order to go out to where we had another church. And I've had some guests that would come with me and they said, well, why don't you start a church here? Well, what about in this village here? I said, listen, I've got to go where the Lord's working. And sometimes the Lord jumps over areas because there's no open hearts. But there was an open heart there in Thome, and God had called someone to go. Well, after the wedding and all, we helped to arrange everything and got a little place for him there. It's a little a wooden shack. But they were so happy. And they started their little Bible studies there. Oh, what a joy it was. They began to minister there and began to preach and everything. But however, it wasn't too long that Mary got sick. They didn't want to bother the missionary or anything. And the Turkana are a very tough lot. They pride themselves almost in being a very tough people. But I didn't realize that. She went into the local hospital there with a simple case of malaria. But because of the poor diagnosis and because of the poor health sanitary situations in their local hospitals, she came in with one sickness and left with another. We didn't realize it until it was too late. It was one of the most difficult funerals to be able to preach. It was for little Mary. I talked with Suleiman and I said, Suleiman, let's go ahead and let's come out of Thome. And guys, listen, let's come in. Come into the town here where we have our church. We had a very vibrant church there in the town of Nyahururu. I said, listen, let's go ahead in here. Let's get some healing here. And we'll send some of the preacher boys out to Thome. We'll be able to keep the Bible studies there going. And he says, oh, no, I can't, Pastor. I can't. Don't you remember what I've told you a couple years ago? I can't. God has called me to start a church in Thome. He says, the church is not formed yet. I've got to go. I've got to go. So he went. And he continued on to be faithful until he started showing the signs of that sickness. Then we knew the sincerity of it. We brought him in. did some special medical tests, and I said, Suleiman, I really want you to do this. I want you to come here, focus here in the town. We've got a hospital here. We have a nurse that was one of our church members, and we can be able to make sure we get all the proper medications for you, help to work things through, get your body built back up, and we'll keep the ministry there going. I'll never forget as he was sitting on my porch there, and he says, missionary, I've told you so many different times, and you're still trying to get me to come off. He says, I can't. Don't you remember? I told you, God has called me to plant a church in Thome. I've got to go back. I'll never forget what he said to me in Swahili. He says, Pastor, even if it takes my life, it's okay. God wants a church in Thome. I remember walking with him to the gate, thinking, I hope those words were not prophetic. We began to continue to go up and send him things up, send some food up, send vitamins and medication and everything else up to him. But he began to continue to deteriorate, and he got to the point where he was literally preaching from his bedside. He led the men there. They were able to get a plot of land for their church, and they asked me to be able to help them with the building. I was unable to help them at the time. I was already involved with another building project in another village. And they said, hey, we're tired of waiting on you. We're going to build one on our own. So from his bedside, he instructed his men to, as they helped to build, a huge, big mud hut, big one, to be able to house their church. And when it became Dedication Sunday, we were going to join that with Dedication Sunday as well as to be able to initiate the church and be able to form the church officially. And sometimes we call it a fellowship until it comes that time, and then they give the church name. And I asked him, I said, what is the church name that we're going to call this church here in Thome? And he says, oh, he said, Kenisa la Ushindi Waki Batisti. Victory Baptist Church. I said, Suleiman, how could you say victory? I said, it's cost Mary your life. I said, look at you. You can't even get up out of bed. He says, oh, but Pastor, remember? God called me to start a church in Thome. He says, he's doing it. The week we dedicated the building, God called him home. He's buried right now in typical Turkana style. There's no grave marker. They put him in a place there behind where his family lives. They just put some thorn branches and things all around, and they plant those around it to be able to keep the animals away. But there's a little place right there, I believe, is hallowed ground. Or Suleiman, I believe, who exemplified being a servant, no matter what the personal cost to him. Let me ask you. If God was to ask you to do anything in life, in this church, in your relationships, in your home, in your family, what would be your answer? Well, what's it going to cost me? What's going to be the inconvenience maybe that I may have? Oh, may God help us to be able to see. Paul says, I've got to have an urgency of the gospel about me. Willing or unwilling, I'm still responsible. And may each of us, like Paul, make ourselves to be a servant unto all. Oh, and at that point, I believe God's willing to be able to and ready
to be able to work through our life and to bring a great harvest of people into his kingdom because of working through people such as you and I. A servant. The heart of ministry. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. I'm a little bit late, and I apologize, Father, to the people. But Father, I do pray that